This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to this episode of the Outsiders Podcast. If you're not following us yet, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you're out there. Probably saying something that gets us in trouble. Want to support the show? Head to OutsidersStudios.com. You'll find membership options, merch, and more ways to stay connected to what we're building. Elect Exile, Brett's Podcast, Solid Theology, and Clear Thinking. Worth your time. Brandon's Substack drops twice a week, Mondays and Fridays. It's where he works out what doesn't always fit in an episode. We've got a lot in the pipeline. Stay tuned. And as always, thanks for listening.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall. And to my right,
No one.
And to his right,
Brett Welty. To my right,
Andrew McKinley. And to my right, a whining dog. And to her right,
Bryce Armstrong.
Should we do that again? And to my left. Just kidding. We don't have to do that again.
That was so painful. First of all, you opened in your most NPR voice.
Yeah.
And then
feeling a little
favorite
tight.
Part.
I'm feeling a little tight in the, you know, the larynx area.
Popocito.
It's because it's so cold.
Pobrecito. I haven't heard that in a long time.
So cold. But how's everyone doing? Brett is back from his hiatus.
Back in the saddle. I don't even remember where I was last time.
Basketball?
Oh, yeah, I was.
Is that where you went?
Well, basketball tournament. That's true.
That's exciting.
Yep. How was that? That was good. We had a good time. Girls got third. Boys got fourth or fifth. That's good.
Wow.
Nice. A nice little program going.
That's dope.
Nice.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was good.
I've seen you and talked to you multiple times since and didn't even ask you about the basketball
thing. Yeah, well, that's no big deal.
Oh, that's okay.
It's nice that the studio was available even though I wasn't here.
Yes.
Yeah. We appreciate that.
Very much.
How are you doing, Bryce?
How am I doing?
Too early in the night to tell.
Well, he's had a lot of dairy.
I did have a lot of dairy.
That's why we started so late.
That's not true. It's not true at all.
We started so late because we can't communicate with all of our members.
Well, that's
our lack of communication is shining through.
Harriet, you pulled my cord.
Fine. Harriet.
Harriet.
Pulled my cord.
That's Brett's dog.
This week, we're missing Jim, so we have
our
guest, Harriet the dog.
Yes.
Who lives here.
And is kind of the worst.
She's kind of wild.
No. Have you met Pearl? She's the worst.
Yeah. She eats food.
She does.
Yes.
We might get.
She is a burrito shape.
We might get unplugged.
Yeah.
All these things are true.
Show.
Oh man. All these things are true.
They are all true. I don't know. I'm doing pretty good. I had a really long day at work because we had an offsite event. And those are 12-hour days, so
fun.
I don't like 12-hour days. I was home for a very short time and then I came here.
And ate Taco John's in your
car. And I ate Taco John's in my car.
We're not sponsored by them yet.
While listening to sad music.
I wasn't listening to. It was the only silence in my day. I listened to nothing.
I listened to Hawthorne Heights because it is winter.
It's a great band. I didn't listen to them, but
or 30 Seconds to Mars or whoever you think.
Good band.
All right, Jared Leto's a weirdo.
Yeah,
Andrew, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Little bit of scammer insurance callers tonight or today at work. So we got to. Like four different people saying they were the owner of the same company, all calling at like 17 different calls of a bunch of us, like emailing back and forth, what'd they say to you? A lot of fun.
That's awesome.
It was something.
I'm glad it's going good for you, Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Yo.
You have, what do we have today? Funny?
So it's a little funny. It's a little discussion-y. It's a little get to know you-ish.
Love it.
Those are all adverbs.
Things that we like that Bryce hates.
Maybe a little. So this episode's coming out like a week before Christmas or so-ish? Somewhere around there.
I don't know.
You're supposed to
say yes,
though.
You're the guy
that's
the
week
stuff.
Of Christmas.
So we're going to do a little
week of Christmas.
Okay, yeah. A little get to know you ish with some Christmas personal questions.
Let's go.
Yeah, this to 23rd, I think, is when it's
coming. Come on, man.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think.
Right then.
I wear all black, bro. And I've got a Christmas tree in my office.
So hard-hitting questions, Christmas style.
Boom.
All right.
What does that mean, hard-hitting questions, Christmas style?
Please answer truthfully.
All right, I'll go first.
Have you ever re-gifted?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mostly kids stuff. Like if we get something we either already have or something we don't want. Like there, you know that the thing at our church nursery, that little push pop thing? Yep. I guarantee you that's when we brought 12 years ago when someone gave it to Caleb.
12 years ago.
Oh yeah, we dumped it there and we never brought it back.
That's amazing. I love that.
I don't know. I'm not in charge of that.
I 100% have.
So we have an out with kids that makes it easier.
Do you think...
Oh, a gift for myself?
Do you think my grandma listens to this? Because if she doesn't, I will tell you that I got a French press gift from like Caribou Coffee or something, and I re-gifted it to her 1 year because I don't remember what I got it for, but I gave it to her, and she thought it was the nicest thing I'd ever given her. So,
well, it doesn't matter if you bought it.
That's probably true.
She but cared that you thought
clean
of
now.
Her.
I'm coming clean now.
She cared that you Thank gave you. It to her.
It's not the thought, it's the gift that counts. Oh.
I've always heard it that way. I'm going to stick with it.
Right. I have regifted something that was gifted to me.
All right.
Because I
It was
really,
a bowling ball with the name Bryce on it.
It was a blanket.
Did I get it for
with the name Bryce on?
No, you did buy it for me.
Okay. Cool.
No, I was like high school.
I re-gifted a used plunger to a youth kid once.
You're weird, dude.
That's the grossest white elephant I've ever heard.
That is disgusting.
Was it for a white elephant? Or
it
something?
Was.
Okay.
That's not.
I think white elephant gift. Gives you an out. That's not a
real gift.
I don't know. I honestly can't. I don't remember. I can't think of anything.
I know we've multiple times like bought something for someone and then like called an audible. Like, nope, we're going to give this to someone else because we're going to their house first.
Smart. That's just smart. All right, hard-hitting question number two.
All right.
Hard-hitting.
Kind of in the same vein, have you ever received a gift and brought it back to the store for store credit?
Have I ever received a gift and returned it to the store?
Mm-hmm. Of course I have.
For credit and or money?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Probably.
Many times.
Was it just because wrong size, wrong color, something like that? Or was it because I don't like this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Crap.
Typically, I don't want things I don't like. I'm very opinionated.
Yeah, I get that.
If anyone's ever listened to our podcast, they know I'm opinionated.
I do not feel bad about taking something back that I don't like and keeping that cash money. You hear that? That's all the cash I don't have. My dry, crusty fingers.
Sandpaper. Oh, Brandon, lotion.
I do.
More.
I do.
Just like dip your hands in lotion and hold it there.
Like those like a Scentsy pot.
That's all wax, those, but yes.
Those what kind of wax was that?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was paraffin.
Yes.
It was
very fun.
Those infomercials.
Oh.
That ruined the word crusty for me. Because they're like, do you have dry skin? Do you have crusty elbows? And it showed someone with a giant metal file, not for people, but for like woodworking, scraping their elbow, just powder falling off.
Ooh.
I was like, oh, man.
No, thank you.
Crusty.
I did find a texture that made me have bad goosebumps.
Yes.
And
ooh,
like wet hands last night. We were playing, we were playing that game that we've been playing at youth with the young adults, and someone had a strainer and then they scratched it. And I was like, hey, don't do that. That's gross. That
does bother me.
Bothered me really bad.
I feel like I have ammo finally in life.
I won't flinch.
Next question.
Question?
What is your favorite Christmas time food or snack? Or dessert, any kind of treat. Something that they only make this time of year.
I think I know Brett's.
Okay, let's hear.
What is it?
Two McRibs.
Those are evergreen whenever they come. They don't have to be just for
Christmas. They are green in the box.
So I would say, are you going to ask anything about traditions?
It can be traditional. It can be like...
Well, if you're going to ask about traditions, I'll save one answer for that. My favorite traditional food that we have as a family. But I would say my favorite treat, I don't know you can do any better than a frosted sugar cookie.
Ooh.
All right.
Something about that says Christmas to me.
Yeah, favorite shape?
No. All.
Right answer.
I'll tell you what I don't like. Anything super crunchy on the top. So they make those like...
The pearls.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be a soft
sprinkle.
Topping. Yep.
A soft sprinkle.
Yep. And not minty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that ruins
the mint. See, is I like the worst. Minty. So if we're like going to talk worst thing that comes to Christmas, anything minty.
That's kind of my next question. So chill for a second.
Okay. Okay. I'll come in even hotter when you ask the question.
Yeah. There's that popcorn that is like covered in
chocolate
something. I don't know. It's so good. I don't know what it's made out of. I couldn't even tell you, but it's only at Christmas time do I ever have
it. Like,
they make it in the mall.
Is it that?
What is it? I don't know what it's called.
It's like that puff popcorn. It's covered in caramel.
Caramel? Is that what it is?
Your mom makes a bag of that every year.
She started doing that very recently. That was not like a nostalgic thing.
If you mean recently, like 10 to 15 years ago?
2 years ago, she started doing that.
No, I remember it from before Brittany and I were
Should
married.
I call my sister right now?
I feel like you might have to. She will be mad because Eliza's going to sleep right now.
Okay, so I'll talk to her tomorrow.
But do it. No, I'm fairly certain I remember that stuff being set out years ago.
This is one of those things where I feel like you should drop in while you're editing and be like, hey, I found out later, and the answer is this.
Bryce from the future.
I'd be okay with that.
Hi, this is Bryce in the future. Andrew was dead wrong.
I will find out.
I would gladly be wrong for something like that to be
included. I will drop it here. It won't sound as good as this because I don't have mics at my house. So I'll make it sound as good as possible. But here's the answer.
I don't normally do this after the fact, but Brett requested that I do so. I had a conversation with my mother just now, just got off the phone with her. She told me it's been 4 or 5 years that she's been making it. I was wrong. I said 2 years, but it's definitely not as long as Brittany and Andrew have been married. This has been my TED Talk. Thank you.
Wow, I can't believe that was the answer.
Wow.
I stand either corrected or I'm super boasty right now and standing over you about it. I don't know. We'll find out.
And I'm humble either way.
No.
No. It says no.
Not a thing. Brandon, you got one?
I don't understand why holidays are such vague blurs for me.
Oh, okay.
Well, trauma probably.
Probably.
Because you wear all black.
Yes.
Because you wear all black.
Most of the time it was like Papa Murphy's pizza.
Hey, that's like...
That's what I remember.
That's
Christmas?
Good pizza. Yeah.
Like, my parents are pretty
That's literally what we're doing for Christmas this year, Bryce, is we're making mini pizzas at home. We're doing homemade pizzas.
I'm making prime rib.
Hmm?
I'm making prime rib.
For who?
My family?
Rude.
I'm going to smoke it.
Rude.
I'm going to smoke. We get prime rib from work, so...
Mm. Oh.
All right, now, what is the holiday food that everyone just insists on making and you can't understand how anyone likes it? It's so gross to you. And fruitcake is already there.
Yeah.
So you got to find something
else. I don't understand why that's
never had it.
You got to hate something else.
I mean, it's not hate, but I do not like minty food of any kind at any time.
Which is very popular.
What about Andy's mints specifically?
No.
You don't like them?
Dislike them.
You also don't like chocolate.
True. Mm. I don't like... solid milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate's gross.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Like, do you like dark chocolate?
Not by itself.
Really?
I would eat it. So like if you put like nuts in it or like anything to break the consistency, it'd be good. Mm. Crackle.
Pop.
You know.
But is there like a Christmas food that's minty?
I'm just saying if there is. Like mint cookies. Sometimes you'll get like those spritz cookies that they'll make a mint and you're like, bro, this was supposed to not be mint.
I don't know what that is.
Well, you're just not a connoisseur of fine, delicious sweets as I am.
It's probably true, actually.
You need to watch more British baking show, Bryce.
That is actually true.
Where they would call them biscuits.
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 Biscuits. Oh,
biscuits.
Oh, biscuits. I got nothing else.
I don't.
What's a staple? Of, like, what would you consider a staple Christmas food that we're going to be choosing for?
I know one Bryce hates.
Is?
Eggnog.
Oh, my kids love eggnoggin.
You said food. I was not at drink.
That is a quintessential Christmas
eggnog.
Let's talk anything you can ingest for Christmas.
I hate eggnog. It's the worst.
Especially if you call it by its old traditional name.
Don't.
Milk punch. Terrible name.
Gross.
Wasn't that Muhammad Ali's first boxing
name? I don't like it either.
It's like tangy, gross. It makes my tongue feel weird.
I think you must have had a cup that had gone bad.
What happened is I used to be dumb in high school, and at Christmas time, every party I went to had eggnog mixed with some whiskey. So anytime I have eggnog now, not just whiskey, some alcohol, anytime I have eggnog now, it just reminds me of that, and it just makes me nauseous. Mm. So that's really what it is.
Makes sense.
Trauma.
It is trauma.
I don't necessarily enjoy milk all that much either. No.
So a punch made of milk.
Yeah, I couldn't get into that.
All right.
I don't like pumpkin stuff either.
That's probably mine is like if I see something that just looks like, oh, that's a brownie. Yum. And then I bite into it and it's like spiced pumpkin-y stuff. I get a little upset. If it's not surprising me.
I don't mind that.
If it doesn't surprise me, I'm like, okay, fine. I'll eat it if there's nothing else. But like if it surprises
there's
me,
nothing else.
If it surprises me, I get a little upset.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
I guess I don't know what traditional Christmassy.
You don't like pumpkin pie?
Not really.
Oh, it's
like cheesecake.
Like cover it in whipped cream. Oh, not just any whipped cream. Cool Whip out of the tub.
Whipped cream.
Yeah.
Cool Whip.
Hit that H a little harder, Bryce.
Cool Whip.
There.
Whip.
My grandma says it that way.
Whip.
I broke a whip.
Like, hey, yeah, I feel like I'm a
Grinch.
No,
Scrooge.
Oh, he is. Yeah, yes.
Hey.
I'm sorry. I believe last episode you called yourself that, or two episodes ago.
It doesn't matter what I said.
It doesn't matter. It's true.
It doesn't matter at all.
Words have no power, Bryce.
No.
Well,
not at
then
all.
Why do we make a podcast?
Okay. This year I've compromised.
How so?
Bethany set up the tree, and I said, you can put that second one in my office.
Mm.
Well, I have a tree in my office. I'm feeling more festive.
How is that a compromise? That sounds great.
Well.
Because he wanted no trees.
I'm not a tree.
I know he got two trees.
That's true. Yeah.
I respect it.
I'm trying to be a little bit more cheerful.
You should. I saw a hat the other day that said Merry and Bright, and I just wanted to buy it for you.
Could have.
Just because.
No one has ever called me either one of those things.
Merry and Bright. Or Bright.
I am none of those things. Thank you very much.
You want a next question?
Yes.
Okay. Which Christmas carol, if you hear it, just like bores into your brain and gets stuck there?
In a good way or a bad way?
Either one.
I hate Oh Holy Night.
Oh, all right.
Really?
There are very few songs that I think it's because it's hard to sing.
Yeah, I agree.
Not a night divine, like when you take it up top.
But do you absolutely love that version that guy sang, that the guy that claimed to be the one that wrote it for?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I wish I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, I roughly know the video you're speaking of. You can't do much better than O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Have you heard Skillet's new version? It's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know that you can mess it up. I think every version of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel I've heard, I've loved.
It's so good.
King of Country has a good one. They're all good.
Yep.
I like the one we do at church, is Sovereign Grace. The lyrics are a little bit more stout. I like that one.
That's true.
For my money, I don't know if you can beat it.
I just love Christmas music, dude. I don't know. All of it's great. I don't know.
All those years plowing.
Yeah.
Working for the lawn care. Whistling Christmas tunes all year.
Nah, I hated them back then. I hated snow. I hated winter. I hated everything about my life. That's not a lie.
That's not a lie.
This is the true truth.
And then I stopped plowing snow and I started enjoying snow.
I'll tell you.
I love it now, dude.
The less your job is tied to weather, the more you can like weather.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's great.
When I managed a trucking company, like I had 5 apps tracking all the weather and 3 road apps to make sure I was on high alert. Now it's like I can just enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about like when the snow starts falling, I'll be like, oh, what time do I have to go in? No, it's just like, oh, I can sit here and just watch it snow. That's so calming.
I love it. Enjoy life, Brandon.
I do.
Okay.
I only have an album.
Which Holy Name album is it?
Yeah, no, for real. Not that one. It's actually the Bad Religion Christmas album. They do all of those classic Christmas carols, but with like punk rock. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. I'll say my favorite secular Christmas song is Sleigh Ride.
That is Maverick's favorite song.
I played that song every year for decades.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve.
I loved playing Sleigh Ride when I was in concert.
It's fun. It's a fun concert band song.
Loved it. I loved it because it was always the whip. And I played trombone.
Yeah.
Got me.
It's a good song, man.
It's a good
great
song.
I'm going to tell Maverick you guys like that song.
Love it.
We'll jam. He's going to be so happy.
Next time I see him with my trumpet, I'll do the horse sound.
Oh, yeah.
I did the horse sound for years.
That's how you do it with the trumpet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
Did you think they brought a real horse, Bryce?
Depends how good the trumpet.
Oh, like, honestly, cool. You could record anything. Also.
But then it's not live.
Leroy Anderson would not approve of pre-recorded anything. He's the author of that movie. And by movie, I mean song.
By author, you mean composer.
Sure. I mean, whatever word you want to use.
I said author the other day, and Andrew was like, you mean composer?
Oh, wow. Oh.
I said that for him.
What's next?
Next. Yeah, we're going to have to take a second to recover from that noise.
Oh, my gosh.
Next question.
We will answer the questions.
We will answer the questions.
Wait a minute.
All right. Think back over multiple holidays, traditions, new and old. What is your never again holiday moment? What was the thing you will never do again? You tried it once. Never again.
I'll tell you one thing that never took off that I wish did. Getting Thai food on Christmas Eve before Christmas Eve service. I tried to get my family into it, like going to Thai food before we go to good Christmas Eve service.
Okay.
I could never get anybody in it. Well, our kids are really little, right? So it's like, well, we're going to dress up, get them all dressed up. We don't want to get them all dirty, but maybe we could do it now, but we never got into it.
I love Thai food.
I do too. Good. And they're typically open on Christmas Eve, so.
Yep. Yep.
I could have some traditions.
Brandon, name one tradition.
You literally just pulled a Michael Scott. I love inside jokes. I hope to be a part of it someday.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
do you have any traditions?
I mean, Bethany's making them, but I can't like process them at the moment because it's not in my room. This wasn't something that we did.
I understand that.
I just don't remember.
But like, you've been married for how many years?
Almost 13.
13 years. Your oldest is
10.
10.
I can't remember. I mean,
you've had 10 years, 13 years to make at least one tradition.
I mean, I'm trying to get him to watch Gremlins with me.
Oh.
I'm trying. We watch The Grinch every year.
Which one?
The Jim Carrey one.
Okay, good. We just watched the original last night.
With Boris Karloff?
It's so dumb. Yeah, it's so I forgot weird. How dumb it was. And then we watched Frosty right after, and I didn't realize how bad that was. Oh my goodness.
Some of those old movies, bro.
That's something I don't want a tradition. Watching those movies.
I guess I have a tradition personally. Man. I listen to certain albums in wintertime, but that's all I got. That's all I got. I'm a seasonal guy.
Is that it? Wears all black.
Yeah. Even in the summer.
What's the next question?
All right. Should it be our last one?
You should ask my wife.
Yeah, we're 27 minutes into this.
Yeah. What's the next question?
All right. What's the next question?
You should ask my wife those
questions.
Well, she's not on our podcast. I know. So.
I follow her. She tells me what to do.
Christmas hot take. Everybody gets one. What is your most controversial Christmas opinion?
Do you have one? Get us jump started here.
Yeah,
I am good with keeping the tree up for far too long, I think.
Before or after?
After.
Yeah, it's not good. Before is fine. After is laziness.
So like I grew up in a house where like it was, we do 12 days because there's 12 days of Christmas thing. And then on that 12th day, we sometimes just didn't put it away.
I would say maybe one hot take would be like, I don't think all traditions are bad. I think a lot of people feel like it gets too, everything is the same every year. You sing the same songs, and it just gets repetitive, and it's not edifying, or it could be frustrating. And I don't think that's true.
I agree. I guess, okay, so I have one.
All right.
Putting lights up too early. We live in the Midwest, and you never know when it's going to snow. And, like, I've seen people on the internet, and like, mainly very warm places, be like, I can't believe they do this. This is so stupid. People that, like, visit here from other places that I've talked to, like, why would you do that? It's still November. Bruh, it snowed in November.
Yeah, dumped, like, 10 inches.
It snowed 10 inches in November in what, 2 days? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, there.
There's a saying in the Midwest, you got to make hay when the sun shines.
Which is not very often.
No, which is why you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What the?
I guess, like, I don't like all the pressure to just, like, give people a bunch of junk.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Like, I want to, like, maybe give things that are more intentional.
Or meaningful.
Or meaningful.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of, like, here's another iPhone. Or here's another this and that that's going to break. Yeah. Or you're going to be bored of in a week or something like that. I don't know. That's probably, I don't know if that's a hot take, but it's just, yeah. And I'd like to be more historical with Christianity, with Christmas.
Because I think slapping heathens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, to your point, I could do more Christmas and less gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'd be okay with that.
I think I would like to be around people more.
Yeah.
Especially since we get to be cooped up in our homes.
I wish we could truly slow down. When you're a kid, like, you feel like it's just this time because you're out of school, and so everything feels like it slows down. You got all these great memories. A lot of times you have great memories because you're out of your normal school rhythm. You're out of everything. It's just a great time. And then as an adult, you're like, it's a day. Like,
yeah.
Maybe a day and a half, depending on what you get on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the middle of the week, you know, you're back to work on Friday. I mean, mm-hmm. you just don't slow down. Like, I do wish, maybe more lament just American work culture, that maybe we could just get longer stretches of just not working. Like
yeah.
we're just so quick to want to produce that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it feels just kind of lost. It's like just a couple more days.
I think at least in my adult life, it felt like Christmas was a blur because that was like the busiest season for us.
Mm.
Especially if we were in ministry and like being at a big church and stuff. Like, I don't remember much of Christmas because I was gone.
Yeah, so it's like so busy.
Yeah, so I think that's why I like struggle with like even like being a pastor's kid and stuff. Just always, you're always busy. It's just what it felt like. So,
well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that they're encouraging us to do at work is to not plan as much, because what's the point?
Yeah.
And like, why do more when you can just relax and spend time and just slow down?
Yeah.
And they're doing it for like the sake of safety
or morale.
They're doing it for like, cause we're very safety oriented. Mm-hmm. And so they want everyone to be safe, slow down, don't rush, don't go do all these things.
Yeah.
But like they have a point. They're actually not wrong.
That was fun.
So this season, boys and girls and all the people that listen to us, slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Take some time. Be with your family.
Skip work.
Make traditions.
If you got PTO, man, just use it.
Yeah. You know, unless you want that check. If you get a check at the end of the year.
Well.
If you want that check, if you need that check.
Don't be about the money it's only about the money.
Unless you need it, though. There's a point where you might need it. And that little paycheck might.
You do you, boo-boo.
But slow down. It's what we want to do.
Yep.
Try to only be mostly about the Benjamins.
Mm.
Instead
Not
of
all
about.
Prioritize. Yep.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Put money where it needs to be. And speaking of transitioning, let's get into our topic.
It's not new.
I know. But it isn't new.
It literally says part two.
I know. I read it wrong. And I just, you know.
He's learning how to read, Andrew.
I lapsed. But we are on the part two of the Beatitudes. And Andrew, Would you read our scripture?
I would love to.
For today.
It's Matthew 5, 6 through 8. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
So this section of the Beatitudes continues Jesus' portrait of the upside-down kingdom. These blessings show what happens when the grace of God reshapes a person inwardly. Jesus is not giving commands here. He is announcing the kind of life God blesses and the kind of person the kingdom produces. So the Beatitudes begin with gospel, not law. They show what God does in the human soul before any command is given. And so, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So the key idea here is a deep, visceral longing for moral, spiritual, and personal righteousness, both in ourselves and in the world. One of my favorites, John Wesley, says that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be satisfied with it. So this is the soul's longing for holiness, the very holiness described in the previous Beatitudes. And so the Beatitudes, they're for the listeners who feel spiritually empty, not because they're far from God, but because they want more of Him. So Jesus promises satisfaction, not because we're impressive, but because God responds to holy hunger. And so the question is, where is my hunger directed? Toward comfort, success, or the character of Christ? Speak. Speak now.
I mean, we all want to say the character of Christ.
Yeah, spiritual hunger is something that God creates, not something that we manufacture.
Mm-hmm. But we should strive to be hungry for righteousness as well. Like, it should be the number one thing, I think, because we want to be satisfied in Him, and that does take like a character shift in us too. Not because we're earning our salvation by any means, but there has to be a conscious like effort to it, I think.
This is the kind of stuff that, like, when I find myself in my prayer life doing the, like, God, can you help me want this better? Because I don't, and
yeah,
I need to.
Yeah.
And I don't just suck, but I also like suck at like not trying to get better, and I need to want it better. Can you help me change what I want?
Mm-hmm. Shift our desires.
When we want to be hungry and thirsty, we're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And so I think something you said just a second ago got me thinking about just the idea of hunger and thirst, and how oftentimes our hungers and our thirsts are for anything but righteousness. And so if we're thinking about our lives, we're meant to pursue the things that we hunger and thirst for. And it's like we need to set them on righteousness. We need to set them towards righteousness. And I think what is interesting to me about this is that, you know, we're called blessed if we are this. And but then it says that we shall be satisfied, which is a passive sense of the verb, which means that something outside of us will make us satisfied. So we hunger and we thirst for a righteousness that is not our own. It's not one that we earn, and it's not something that we generate by our own effort. So our hunger and our thirst is really more of an acknowledgement that we don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hungry and thirsty because we're made to be hungry and thirsty, and we don't have something. And what we need is righteousness. And we're blessed if we hunger and thirst for the right thing. And when we do that, we don't earn, we receive satisfaction. So it's like, again, the thing you said earlier about how God makes our hearts, or however you said that, makes our hearts or shows us what we need to. I mean, this is that in action. I mean, all of these things that we talk about, the answers are all, you know, kind of like in a passive sense. Like it's happening to us. It's things are being done to us. The satisfaction comes from without, not from within.
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness doesn't come from within. It comes from outside of us. All we're bringing is the hunger and the thirst. We're not bringing any righteousness, and we're not earning any righteousness. We're receiving that in due course.
Mm-hmm.
today during my lunch break, I was rereading these verses, and when I was going through the hunger, thirst for righteousness part, it's almost like I was like, we should crave righteousness like we crave food and we crave drink, fully knowing that it's going to satisfy us when we consume something when we're hungry. Like, and so I wonder if we just kept showing up and we kept like, God, I want more of this. I want to be like full of you. And I don't like, so we just keep coming back to that. And I know we won't fully ever be satisfied, like not satisfied, like we'll always be hungry and we'll always be thirsty for more of God. And so maybe we just come humbly and say, I want more of this.
Yeah, but every other hunger in life doesn't leave us satisfied. It leaves us restless because we just like,
there's always another.
I need another something. But Jesus promises that this one is going to, it ends in fullness because God is the one that's satisfying it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the living water.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no more.
Exactly.
I think of like fully knowing that our drifting minds and our drifting wants and desires will always get off the mark a bit, you know? And so it's always coming back and saying, God, I want more of this because I was over here and this wasn't satisfactory at all. And so I need this to be the rudder that guides my boat in life.
Sometimes they say one of the first signs of dehydration is hunger. And I've always thought about that as we don't even really understand our own desires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I'm thirsty enough, I'll think it's hungry and I'll eat instead of drinking water because I think that's what I need. So I can't even understand my own desires. And then the other thing I would say is, have any of us ever really been like in the desert thirsty?
No.
Right?
No.
Or hungry after multiple days of not eating because I can't afford to eat, not because I'm fasting for religious or health reasons, but like I truly just don't know where my next meal is coming from. That's what we're talking about here. The poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek, those who are hungering and thirsting because they have no avenues. That's the kind of attitude that we're being blessed for. An intense desire for righteousness, a hunger that is not just, I could eat. I mean, I could always eat. I could drink. I mean, I just had you guys pour me another cup of coffee. I didn't need it. But like this kind of thirst is the thirst that says, this is what you need to live. And it's for righteousness. And what's interesting is it's for all of righteousness. It's not just for a piece of righteousness, right? When you think about hunger and thirst, we think about satisfying an immediate need. This is like a full-on righteousness. Like it's all of it. It's a hunger and thirst for complete righteousness. Not a piece of it. I want all of it. And then the blessedness for that pursuit is that we will receive it. It's incredible.
I dig that. I like that a lot. All right, so let's move on to Matthew 5, verse 7. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So kingdom people imitate God's heart by extending compassion, forgiveness, and tenderness. John Wesley says, the merciful, the tenderhearted, they who love all men as themselves. Whatever mercy we desire from God, let us show to others. So that means, so mercy is both a feeling, but it is also an action. So it's compassion for the suffering, forgiveness for the guilty, generosity toward the needy. So mercy is the fruit of someone who has experienced God's grace. It is impossible to cling to mercy from God while withholding it from other people. So the question is, where is God inviting us as individuals here to show mercy that costs me something? Because shouldn't showing mercy most of the time be costly? Because it's not natural for us to do so?
Yeah. Titus 3:5. I'm not answering your question, but sorry. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Yet mercy's not coming anywhere from us, obviously. Mm-hmm. None of it's natural. It's coming from the Lord, only the Lord.
Mercy is a product of the gift that we've been given.
Right.
And I will say to Brandon's point, when Jesus showed us mercy, it cost him his life. So
yeah,
there's, if we're following the example, there's going to be some cost.
Yep.
At some point, maybe not on the day to day, but somewhere.
Yeah. You get what you give and you give what you get. That's what this one says.
Mm-hmm.
We have received mercy so that we can be merciful, but we also get what we give. Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. So I think the correlating verse would be Matthew 7, where it says, judge not, lest you be judged. Mm-hmm. You will be judged back in according to the same measure that you were judged, or that you judged. And then James picks it up in chapter 2 of James, where he says, mercy triumphs over judgment.
Yeah.
And so you've got judgment, you've got mercy. Both are just actions by a holy God. He gives either mercy or justice. But it would seem that we traffic more in the mercy business and less in the justice business, because we can't really seem to do that one just right. And so those who are truly happy in every sense of the word blessed, they are the ones that are full of mercy. They are full of mercy. Like, it's not even, again, I think the totality of these are what's so interesting. It's not just partly mercy, like you're full of mercy. And you give that to other people, and you give it to anyone and everyone that wants it. So again, the thing about the Sermon on the Mount, and maybe you guys talked about this last week, I don't know. But like, it's the totality of what you're told is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Be merciful to a point and then stick it to the guy. That's not what it says.
No, it's not.
It's be merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the outcome is you shall receive mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want mercy from your God? Then give it. Do you want mercy for the sins and the mistakes that you have made in your life? Then give some mercy. Like, full of it. That's a crazy command. That's the kind of stuff that's so crazy, people don't think it means what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be merciful, but like, don't be a doormat. Okay, why are you putting the governor on it?
You took that one right from me.
Did I? I
don't know. Oh, you're okay.
How dare you?
Yeah, well,
no,
show some mercy.
I know, right? No, my bad.
No, it's just, yeah, it's like, it's actually strength, more strength that's given from God to us to show mercy and to keep showing mercy to others. Because if we fully know that we need more mercy, then we should be willing to just freely give it to all people that wrong us. And the little ways and the bigger ways too, which is hard. It's difficult.
Yeah. So if the example is Christ, where do we stop?
We don't.
We don't.
He hasn't yet. So,
no. So why would we stop?
I mean, until you step off your royal throne as king of the universe and give your life for sinners who detest you and hate you and shake their fist at you.
And then raise from maybe, the
yeah, then,
and then raise from the dead.
Yeah, then maybe you could talk to me about you're giving too much mercy.
Yeah.
Again, I think don't saying think that stuff sounds crazy to people. Even Christians, they would say, no, this isn't how you run the world. Well, it might not be how you run the world, but it's definitely how you run your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those who hunger for righteousness in verse 6, I put naturally become merciful, but supernaturally become merciful in verse 7. It's again not because of anything we're doing, but because they see their own deep dependency on God's mercy. Like, we need to see the Lord's mercy to be merciful, and we need his help to do that. Like, we can't do any of this, and we can't say, oh, I've given you enough mercy, I've given you enough, We're done. Can't do it anymore. No, the Lord didn't do that. We're not going to do that. We can't do that. We got to stop making excuses for ourselves and saying, I've done enough. I've done enough for this person that asks all of this of me. Well, okay. Have you? Because the Lord didn't stop for you.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to last week's episode of like, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yeah.
Like living in a way, like knowing we are impoverished spiritually and we need, and if we have nothing, then we can ask for everything from him. Like, give me more mercy to show to people. Not because I want to be any better, because I want you to be seen, God. Like, I want you to be known, not anything I can do, like you said, you know. And that's been stuck in my brain. Of like, if I am so just, I suck, not a good person, it's not natural for me to be a good person, then if I can go to this king who sits on this throne, who reigns over the entire cosmos, and he'll give, like, he'll welcome me into the family, he'll seat me at the table, I'll feast with him, but I'll also get to learn more about him. Like, even when I'm dead and gone, that's like, that's a way better life to live. And man, like, become a servant for those that are in need, because you are in need still, and you were once really needy, and maybe you've moved like just a skosh to like less needy in some sense. Not we're not needy, we are needy, but we're a little further down the road than others. So yeah, stay in that. I need more of you, God, all the time.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Do you think mercy and forgiveness are synonyms?
Say that again.
Are mercy and forgiveness synonyms? Do they share definition?
I think the circles cross over, but not completely.
Yeah.
I think that mercy can also be, you see a need and you fill it without being asked, is mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not forgiveness.
So we would say God forgave us by mercy, by
in his mercy,
Son, yeah. Which was a merciful yeah. act.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, there's not great, the synonyms of Jesus talking about forgiving again and again. Again, forgiveness and mercy are not synonyms, but a merciful person seeks to be more forgiving.
Yeah.
A merciful person seeks to put others ahead of themselves. A merciful person does these things.
They coexist and often gravitate each other.
Yeah, I think mercy must be the root of that, it would seem. To be merciful is to be someone who forgives and who overlooks an offense and who loves. It's really just tied to, I think, having a right view of reality. What is reality? Reality is that we are sinners and we can't save ourselves and we bring nothing good to God. And yet then we become these children of God who inherit the kingdom and who call Jesus friend and savior, who call God father. And so now we've been elevated to this lofty place in salvation. But we can never forget where we come from, because the one we follow was willing joyfully to go to the cross and to extend mercy to all who would believe. So I think I just can't get over, like, so here's something that I don't know that we even need to do this, but so maybe edit it out. This doesn't go anywhere. But I think there's a difference between the Beatitudes for personal life and how people run governments and things like that. Like a lot of people say, well, turn the other cheek. I think that is true for individuals. Don't know the role of what the Beatitudes would have for running governments, but for you and I as individuals, as followers of Christ, like this is paramount. It's there's nothing more we can do. And yes, if you're a judge, if you're a police officer, there is a role in your place for laws and justice. Mm-hmm. And that's part of your duty as a law enforcement officer. But between us, our default posture between one-to-one is mercy. It's not judgment. So I just think we get a category distinction that we need to make sure is clear. There are times when judgment needs to happen and when we need to follow laws or you know, create order. That's not a bad thing. But what we're saying is when it comes to our relationship, caring for the poor, those who are less fortunate than us, like we should have no governor for how aggressively we seek to be merciful to those around us.
Yeah, I think a consistent refusal to show mercy contradicts the very heart of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could just say that first. Just save me about 30 seconds.
Brent's point, I've had firsthand experience of working somewhere that was ran like a church when it should have been ran like a school. It didn't work.
Doesn't work. So, but that doesn't negate the point that we are to be a merciful people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, thinking about what you said, Brett, I mean, once you're in a position, government, law enforcement,
manager at a work,
you have a responsibility to more than one person at that point. When we're talking about our personal lives, you're talking about I'm responsible for me and how I conduct myself with others. I show mercy because I can sacrificially take the hit and show mercy and forgive. When you're responsible to other people in any type of authority, you don't get to make that sacrifice for them anymore. I think that's where the switchover is. So it is not just to show mercy by letting a rapist go without any kind of punishment. Right. Right. It is not, you know, because at that point, what you're doing is endangering the people around him.
Mm-hmm. Now you need to move into stewardship.
Yes.
Like there's different mm-hmm. spheres.
You're responsible for every person that person hurts. Yep.
Yeah. We're supposed to mirror Christ to the world so they can see him. So that means I think if you're in that kind of position, you can act justice the way it should be, like at least to the extent of what you can do, especially something like that.
Yeah.
But also enacting justice to like, say one of your children hits one of your other children, right? Or like is violent towards that. Like it's not like you go to jail, but I think it's our job to like, hey, this is wrong. There's distinct wrong and right. And we have to do that. And I think that's...
Now you don't get YouTube for the day.
That or... That one.
We had some screaming about that yesterday.
I never put together... Always read the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in particular as individual. I've never read it as a bigger picture than that.
I think that's right. But again, I think... So again, that's where we get like... And we'll get... I mean, I don't know how far we'll go into the Sermon on the Mount, but like... Again, where you typically hear it is, I'm a pacifist because Jesus told me to turn the other cheek. Well, that's not really the best way to run a government.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't. Like, that's just not the way it goes. But you very well can and should run your life as a Christian in that way. Mm-hmm. Because that is your role. Like, that they would see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16. So, we have an individual role. But if you are the president of the United States... You have, to Andrew's point, a responsibility to protect the citizens in your care. And so I'm just saying that while these are universal truths, we have to understand the intended audience. Like, we are disciples of Christ, individual disciples of Christ. What does it look like to be part of the kingdom? It looks like this. And so it means when I am wronged in a business dealing, it is better to absorb that than to create a stink. Because I think we should just believe the stuff Jesus said. Jesus says in the book of John, I forget where, it's towards the end, he says, they will know you by your love for one another. Mm-hmm. How good of a job are we doing as a church? Would outsiders and unbelievers look at us and say, they love each other so well, there has to be a God in heaven? I doubt it.
There's so much bickering and fighting.
Yeah.
we can't let anything go. So like I see a text like, be merciful. It's like, but then, but again, if we look at reality, we say, I have been forgiven so much. Why in the world can't I get over this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I literally have been, I was on death row for crimes I did commit. And I, not only did I get a full pardon, I am now co-heirs of the new creation with the Savior of the universe. I think I can let it slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then in so doing,
if we had that,
if
we had that viewpoint top of mind all the time, I agree. But we are so inherently stupid.
Sinful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same thing.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't happen.
That's true. I just read that today. Anyway, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I can't pull it from, but I was just reading like one of the foolishness is a category for sin in the Bible. And the idea that there's a Latin term for it. I just read it today. I don't remember. But the argument is sin makes you stupid. Like yeah. You're not mm-hmm. wise.
It
like,
does.
Like Proverbs would say the fool. That's foolish. That's stupid. I mean, that's.
It's mm-hmm. the same thing. Yeah. We're foolish. We're stupid. I mean, the opposite of stupidity is wisdom.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I could park on mercy all day because I think it is just so important.
Yeah, no, it's
mercy and love.
And it's countercultural to like mm-hmm. everything.
It's countercultural in Christian circles too. Yeah. That's what winds me up about it.
Yeah. Like, which is, I wonder if we were to operate in a more like mercy driven culture in our churches, like, what difference that would make.
Well, okay, so let's talk through this. So you often hear people say you got black and white people and you got gray people. Black and white people love justice. Gray people love mercy. And so the mercy lovers are the ones that have allowed for love is love. And the mercy lovers are the ones that have said gay is okay.
I don't know about that.
So, but that's how it gets pegged, right? That's typically the argument. It's like if you skew too far into mercy, you're all up in your feels and you lose truth. That's the argument against being too merciful.
Yeah.
And so the question is that a legitimate knock on being merciful, or is that just a cop-out, or is that just a sinful progression? I think, yes, I think your bent, your nature, who you kind of are, will cause you to skew into different sin patterns, right? Somebody that loves God's justice will skew into legalism, whereas someone who loves mercy might skew into a little more loosey-goosey. Fine, that's true, but that doesn't negate the fact that it still says the same thing. Which mm-hmm. is, you are to be merciful.
Mm-hmm.
So merciful without sinning should probably just be understood.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. But I just saw a video recently of someone that skews towards, you know, accepting everyone and being so merciful to everyone, lose their every loving mind on someone else in their congregation during a service.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mercy at all.
No.
But so...
No, it's not.
No, it's inappropriate.
That's a I don't know.
You're just fighting different battles, right?
Yeah, I think
it's like everything else. There's always a balance. There's always two sides to the coin. Mm-hmm. There's always the whether it's mercy or justice. It always has to be balanced out with wisdom.
Yeah,
the Christian life is dangerous. Like we can fall off at any side, any direction.
It is
we go.
Precarious.
Yeah, yeah.
What's like
better word?
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. Was it faithful love? Flows from that throne. So the foundation of God is like I think we talked about it a couple episodes ago, maybe even more than that. That justice in God's eyes is like the noonday sun, the sun, like where the sun is the highest. Normally, when it's the brightest out, like everything that God will judge has nowhere to hide, and he's the ultimate judge because he does it perfectly. And so we're never going to judge. Like it's going to be really hard to judge and not be personal about it, I think, sometimes, because we all have our different bends, we all have our different like places that we land. But I think if we're saying no, I trust you, God, in this situation. I know that you're going to, like, pure justice is going to come from you. I will trust you. But I will show mercy to those around me as best as I can in the ability that I can. And that's it. Because I just, we are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be totally opposite of the world. And when we talk about, like, when you said, like, mercy is loosey-goosey, I just don't think so. I think mercy is just as firm as justice together. I don't see it any differently. And I think when we do categories of that, I do believe it's a cultural thing. I think people that are more firm to justice talk about Christendom and being like making Christian nations. And then you have the other side where they want government to just do whatever they want. And they have programs and accept everyone. But I just think we've twisted the narrative and we've twisted the definitions to match what we feel good in. And they're totally, you can't comprehend it to me of what pure mercy and pure justice would actually look like without God in the center of it. We make it a mess because we have some quote unquote skin in the game or some agenda that we want to push for ourselves.
I think maybe it'd be safe to clarify that, like, sometimes people that claim mercy are just confusing it with tolerating mm-hmm. or abiding sin in their presence instead of trying to lovingly correct it. Because it's easier to just say, oh no, we're good with that now, instead of having a hard conversation.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of time, maybe the gray that we're talking about as being like merciful is more being, I almost want to say lazy. That might be an unmerciful take on it, yeah. But I think that, yeah, that's the spectrum. It's more about it's people who are seeking maybe unrighteous justice, going too hard into like not loving on people who need to be loved, but also not tolerating the sin that mm-hmm. comes with, and instead correcting.
Yeah.
And finding again that balance. Righteousness and mercy go hand in hand. They aren't opposites. They just have to be I think that the things that we skew them into are opposites, the things that we mistake them into. And that's where we have to find that balance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we talk about tolerance, it's just, I think, at least in Western mentality, we just don't want to be uncomfortable. Because then that just means if we're like, no, we aren't going to settle for this, that we aren't going to, this is not what the Bible has said. You're either going to have to be okay with that, or we're going to have a different discussion. And that could point us to make us the bad guy, which would be more tension against the church. But in our culture, we've wanted to be cozy, and we've wanted to be not, we just want to go to church, and we don't go home. But it just doesn't seem like that adds up with the Christian faith historically.
There's almost a beatitude we're not going to get to tonight about getting hated on for being mm-hmm. with Jesus.
Yeah. Persecution. Yeah.
True. Last thing I want to say, let me move on if you want, is the ones who give mercy are truly blessed and truly happy. Like, we don't want to forget. So not only do we get mercy, like we receive mercy for being merciful, we're also blessed in being merciful.
Mm-hmm.
We are truly happy if we are showing mercy. Man, that's, I mean, Andrew, I think you said it earlier about praying for the want to. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's upside down. Like you said, it's, so not only is it that we get mercy if we give mercy, but in the pursuit of getting mercy, we get blessed. To be merciful. Just a good deal all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Let's move to the final verse for tonight. And so that's Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So purity is not ritual or external. It is a wholehearted love for God that transforms our vision. The ESV Global Study Bible Notes says that Jesus elevates inward purity over ritual purity, and it's emphasized by Jewish tradition. And so purity in heart is not perfection, and it's undivided devotion. The more the heart is cleansed, the clearer God becomes. And so, is anything clouding my vision of God? Yes, me. my desires. Like what I think my life should be. What I think, which direction I think my life should go. And I think that's different for every different culture that hears us on this podcast, because they all have a different situation. But if it's not, I'm not conforming. If you're not conforming to what God asks you to do, is to go and make disciples, take the gospel to the nations, then you're off point. That's our start. We make disciples, but we also confess our sins to one another. We do all these, you know, all the stuff, all of it. I found a verse. I remember my grandma used to read this to me when they lived here. And it's in Psalm 24, verse 3. So, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is a generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God, of the God of Jacob. I don't need to explain that verse for those verses very much, but that is who, what I think that is what purity of heart looks like. It's the one that seeks the face of God in his day, in the daily battles.
Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with everyone, which we'll get to in just a minute. Well, next time we'll get to peacemakers. Mm-hmm. But it also says, and strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So we don't, if we don't come holy to the Lord, we don't see the Lord. And that's what is being said here. The pure of heart, the holy people are the one that see God. If you are not holy, you cannot see God. Without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. We know that our holiness and our righteousness is foreign. You know, it's given to us by Christ. And so part of this is that, well, all of this is that on some level, in that only God, only Christ's blood can make us pure of anything, right? But there's also an element of seeking purity, seeking holiness, being sanctified, being made more into the image of Christ, that process, that stepping forward day after day in more holiness is what is required if we want to see God. There's no guarantee that you will see God because you are born or because you die. You will only stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you need purity by which you cannot have on your own. Like, people read this and they think, okay, I just need to make my heart more pure. Well, that's just not going to work.
Doesn't happen.
Doesn't work. Yes. But what we still have to admit is that once the Lord saves us, he starts to make us into his image, and there is a process of becoming more Christ-like. And I think that process is in view here. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have true, lasting spiritual happiness? Pursue sanctification. Be pure in heart. Because if you do so, the outcome is you will see God. Do you want to see God? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be in the presence of your Savior forever? If the answer is no to any of those questions, you have to question the first part. Have I truly been born again? Because those who have been born again want to be with their God and be with their Savior as part of becoming more pure in heart.
A.T. Robertson says, sin befogs and beclouds the heart. Purity includes everything. So purity removes the fog. Only those who with purified hearts can see the kingdom now and see the kingdom of what is of that inbreaking kingdom that Jesus was talking about. Because there's been a veil that has been lifted over from the eyes of our heart, that we see things differently. Still a bit foggy. Mm-hmm. Never fully. I don't think the fog is fully like gone.
Well, that's because we're still sinful.
Yeah.
Yes, since fogging our vision, and purity is going to sharpen the mm-hmm. vision.
We see the work that he's doing. Yep. See it just a bit clearer.
Yep.
Yeah, I would also say you got to take purity by force.
Yeah.
I think one thing.
Can you
Say that again.
Explain what you mean by that.
Yes, I think we need to take purity by force, and I'll explain it in this way.
Oh, okay, cool.
If we understand the vileness of sin, our desire should be to purify our hearts all the more. My memory is failing me, but there's a Puritan or someone somewhere that made a comment one time that was something to the effect of, some will get in saintly and some will get in with the smoke of hell on their coat. Like, you got saved just enough. Like, yeah, you got in, but like, you fought for no form of holiness. And I'm not speaking to levels of, I don't know what to make of that comment, but the point I want to make is that it's been impressed on me lately that we don't take sin seriously enough in our Christian lives. We don't see it as the vile affront to God that it is. And so because that is the case, we wink at sin and we pursue sin all the more every single day. And we find ourselves going backwards and backwards and backsliding and backsliding. And the grace is so good, we continue to, yes, see God move, and that's so good, but it can be better. We can have a richer experience with God on this side of heaven. And that involves killing sin, mortifying the flesh, actually looking to God and saying, you are worth changing my desires for. You are worth giving up this ugliness to pursue the beauty. You are worth me chopping off my hand, gouging out my eye, doing whatever it takes to walk into heaven maimed but pure. And I think for all the talk of mercy, mercy is what we give because we understand our sinfulness. We should be ruthless and dogmatically hating and killing sin in our life, and ruthlessly and dogmatically giving grace to those around us. And we can't mix that up. We can't be easier on ourselves and worse on other people. That's legalism.
Also, plank and speck.
Correct. I mean, well, yeah, Jesus will address it here in just two short chapters. But that's the point. But the main thing here about purity is we get so up in our whatever about how, oh yeah, like I am a sinner and it's never going to get any better till I get to heaven. Not true. It can get better. It should get better. And we need to be more like Christ. That's the deal.
That's sanctification right there, man.
But no one wants it.
No, like it's just pure selfishness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's pride and it's selfishness. And we're so consumed with what.
And I'm wagging my finger at everybody, but you know what Jesus says? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to have your best life now?
Oh.
And I mean that in like an actual good sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're welcome for that. It's pursue holiness.
Blessed is the good life.
Mm-hmm.
When they use that word blessed, it's do you want, like you said, do you want to have the good life?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Then kill sin and be more like Christ. And you'll be blessed and happy in doing it. It's not going to be drudgery. It's not going to be you're missing out on all the fun stuff. The cool kid table is over there. Now you're at the lame Christian table. That's not the deal. Like, think about your own lives. Like, I'm looking at you guys. Like, we have great lives. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy my life. Huh. I am truly and completely happy. I'm very happy where I am. And I think it's in direct correlation to the fact that I really want to be more like Christ. Like, I'm happy. Like, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just have pity on those people. I'm like, that, you know, I mean, I grew up in corporate America. Like, these guys tell me about how, like, you know, everybody wants to go on a work trip because we want to go to the meeting till 5 o'clock and then have those 2 hours of the happy hour, get free drinks. I'm like, that doesn't appeal to me.
No.
That doesn't, like, being away from my family and drinking free alcohol, like, that doesn't light my fire. I'm happier at home. I'm happier with my church family. I just don't get it anymore. And I think we all should have a bigger dose of not getting it.
Yeah, I agree.
So what you're saying is you want to take us to happy hour.
I would be happy to go with you boys anywhere. But not those guys. I mean, that stuff was gross. But
I've been thinking about that a lot now too. For a long time, I complained about all the deaths that I had to go through with my life. And then something, obviously, the Holy Spirit clicked in my brain. Like, but what are you living in? What life has come to you? And so I look around. I'm like, I've got a beautiful wife. I've got three amazing kids. I've got a church family that I don't feel burdened by, that I love to serve, that I love to be with, that I would rather fill my time to the brim with all the church activities so I can be around all the people I love. And that's way more life than it is death. I was like, oh, not being a rock star is a good death for me, because now I get to really live. I get to really see love played out in my life. I get to get rocked by teaching Romans to young adults and feeling like crap after they leave, because I'm like, I suck. Like, all of these things that Romans chapter 1, it lightens the load right at the beginning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And then it's like, yeah, but your heart's darkened. And God's giving us over to our delusions and to our like women exchanging things with women and men with men. And it's like, I'm like, okay, like I get it. I suck. We all suck. We're on the same level of suck. But when you get further on and further on, I have to remember, I can't remember Romans 12 too at the moment. I'm like spacing out on it. But I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect, which is blessed are you, who are pure in heart, who are merciful, who are poor in spirit. That is the good life. That is the life that we get to be at. Because God came to us and he changed our hearts. And now we get to live in this kingdom that is not yet, but is here now. And when we do things like this, and we do acts of mercy at our churches, when we just serve our churches, and we serve people around us like our neighbors, that kingdom is seen just a little bit more. And my gosh, that's better. Way better than moving up the career ladder. If God's blessed you with a really great career, give more praise to him for it. Because you could have definitely been somewhere else. Could have definitely gone a different direction. But if you also, your career is working at McDonald's or working a gas station, blessed are you. We're all on the same page. Ignore the monetary thing that America has put into us, that's your worth. It's not your worth. Your worth is solely in Christ. That's where you find your identity, is in Jesus. So blessed are you. Do not forget that. I'm telling this to myself because I complain so much about where I am and where I have been. But I'm just sick of complaining about it. Because then it's like, what do the people around me think when I whine and complain? I'm like, am I not good enough for him? Am I not good enough, like, that he wants to go somewhere else to, like, do something?
Or maybe they're thinking, is God not enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is Jesus not enough for you?
Yeah. Those are battles I fight in my mind.
The dangerous stuff to broadcast.
Yeah.
I mean, we all do it, though. Calling you out on it. I do it too.
No, I'm like, I realize how much of a jerk I've been and how like discontent with life I've been, to the point where I'm like, I don't want that anymore. That is too heavy on me. That yoke I do not want. I want something that is full of joy. And so it's like, God, if this be my life, help me to enjoy it. Help me to find joy in everything that I get to do. Whatever that looks like. And you know what? It gets a little easier if you keep asking for it. If you keep coming at a level of poverty, like, I know what I want to fill this hole in my heart with, God. But I want you to be in that spot, not me. Not my wants, not my desires. So
There you go. Blessed. Blessings to everyone. Right? All right. Cool. We're all done. What about you, Jim?
Next time.
That was really good, Jim.
Thanks, good. Jim. In spirit.
Sorry, we had to edit that out for time.
Father, Son, and Spirit, give us a heart to care for those in the margins, to show grace to those who are difficult, and to love all we come in contact with. Amen.
It's been Outsiders Podcast. See you next year.
Thanks for listening. We love you.
Bye.
Hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.